Sport with Frank Hogan Mercedes-Benz, Dublin Road, Limerick. For your new 201 Mercedes-Benz, check out frankhoganmercedesbenz.ie.
Days ago, Blondie topping the charts with Call Me. However, Sunday the 20th of April will be remembered for many different reasons by many different people. But here in Limerick, it'll be remembered for one thing and one thing only. And that's when Own Hands, Joe O'Mahony, Dave Mehedy and co directed Limerick to a Premier Division title that has never been replicated here on Shannon's side. So for the next 40 minutes, why not sit back, relax, close your eyes and reminisce on what was a golden era for Limerick football.
You know, I had a lot of thinking to do before I decided that I would come to Limerick. I had other options, and really it was just a milestone in my career, really, and the right decision. It was it was just wonderful times.
Owen was a few weeks late because he had a tour of South Africa. So I was already started. But what really happened was that, you know, we sat down and talked, and we found we were on the same wavelength. And as a result, like, I mean, it was within Owen's gift to say yes or no for me, because I was only starting out. It was actually my first job really in sport, in senior sport. And what a job to get as your first one.
Dave had been kind of looking after them on a temporary basis or something like that. Then I came in, and the first thing I did was I had a chat with Dave, and I made the decision that Dave was the man that would be there to help me, because he was very, very professional and very, you know, very efficient at his work. Having had the chat with Dave, then I can remember clearly on a lovely sunny evening, sitting down all the players and really first time to meet them all, and basically having a chat, a good chat about what we were going to try and do. And really, Mike, what it was just saying, look, I just want to maximise what you guys have got, and I don't want any messing about. I don't want any ifs and buts. It's either you accept our way of training to get fit, and or else you just tell me now and you go on your way. Basically, I mean, that was it. You know, that was kind of a summing up of it. And, well, I mean, the training then started, and we trained very hard. And I think, I mean, as hard as I'd ever done in my life, like as a pro footballer. But you see, I was player manager. So, I mean, the good thing was I was doing everything that Dave was requesting of myself, for myself. And, of course, the lads then knew that, OK, if the boss is doing it, we'll do it, because he's not going to make a show of us type of thing. And they all responded really very, very well. And I do genuinely think that fitness level stood to us so much, especially towards the end of games as the season went on.
He was playing professionally in England, and he was still relatively a young man at the time and well able to play. So he definitely brought a level of professionalism. Dave Mehedy was an expert in physical fitness and got the players fitter, I'd say, than they ever were. And I think that made a huge difference.
We had a total pre-season training, which was done out in the college at the time, and I was really on my own with them starting out. So fitness was the basis of it. So they got plenty and plenty of fitness. And then, you know, Owen came in and did the coaching then on that. So we had a great basis of that. And we've probably at a time when fitness levels were only starting to become important. With the development of Thomond College and people with physical education backgrounds coming out into the workforce, it made a big difference then.
Limerick had begun to put a good side together, probably running on from, they got to a cup final in 77 where they were done by Dundalk. Frankie Johnson was in charge at the time, but John Herrick came in and did very well with Limerick, and they were kind of they were beginning to get molded into a good side. They had very good talent, but I thought the arrival of Owen Hand was just key, and the move to Thomond College, as it was at the time, for training purposes, and the whole professional ethos that was brought in by Owen and Dave Mahidi made Limerick a really strong side.
The team had the talent, but we just hadn't got it gelled together. I remember when Owen Hand was appointed, and we were going training in UL, and I was on the road travelling with Benson Hedges, so I was late coming to the train, and I remember running out onto the pitch, and all the boys were sitting around, and Owen and Dave Mahidi were in the middle. And I sat down, and he looked at me and said nothing. Then he started off, and he said, "By the way," he says, "if you're late again, you can stay at home." So I knew something definitely was happening. Dave, we called him Hitler. His training regime was, he did it with us, and Owen did it with us. So you couldn't drop out with Owen doing it, because he was the manager and a player. And if you didn't keep going as long as he kept going, you were in serious trouble. And we started off by being up in Cratlow Hills. Dave mapped out, I think it was a 4-mile run up to the hills. And we stood out in a certain time. I can't remember what the time was now. But we just kept going. And that was the start of it. That was the pre-season.
I can feel it in my knees already. I blame Dave Mahidi for that. He ran me into the ground. The fitness level that Dave gave us, plus on top of that, he gave us kind of a mental mentality, you know, to stick with it and believe in ourselves. And that means an awful lot, like.
So when Owen came, was a big new to us, you know, and he had us training pre-season, and it was different, you know. And, you know, he was the senior figure there, and we all respected him. And, you know, but his training then was intense, and, you know, and it stood a lot to us, because, you know, we won a lot of games towards the end of the game. We scored, and we were kind of fitter. He brought himself and Dave brought a level of fitness in that we were more fitter than a lot of teams, and we caught him at the end of the game, you know.
They were a very honest group to work with. There was a lot of moaning and groaning, and mainly the senior pros at the time. But in fairness to them, they realised that we had something going. We had something special. Yes, you can moan, but once you're getting results, nobody worries about the morning on that. I do know when we finished pre-season training, some people went back to Mickey Webb looking for more money, because the work was a lot harder than they expected. And they probably got a fiver of a raise or something like that, you know.
So when Swan came in, straight away it changed the whole aspect of everything. Training, he brought in Dave, and what a fantastic trainer Dave was at the time. And Dave at the time then was involved as PE teacher in no better man than Peter Dale to put you through your paces at that time. So it's everything set in place for it. You know, Owen was totally professional. It just, Owen did all the talking, Dave did all the training, and so everything just fell into place then. And lucky enough, we had a good bunch of players with a mixture of some of the older lads and all the young lads that would come through at the time, Mike.
Owen was very professional. Everything we'd done kind of changed that year, you know, insofar as it was way more professional, and it was just a different ball game, and we responded, I think, really as a group. I mean, we were a great bunch, like no cliques in the team. You know, everyone mixed, everyone got on together, and even to this day, we still kind of get on together, all of us, which is very unusual. So yeah, it was a great time, really, looking back in it. You know, I don't think we realised it at the time, but it was great looking back at it.
He brought professionalism to the club. It was a hiatus there, maybe a month or 6 weeks or something, when I left Sligo and back in England, not too sure what I was going to do, to be honest. But anyway, got a phone call out of the blue from Owen. Kind of heard that Limerick were doing things as well. I'd lost a little bit of touch. And it was very persuasive, Tom. Should have been in my business, salesman. But he persuaded me to come over. And it was a very important time. And I remember John Delamere as well. He was signed. But anyway, from the minute I set foot in Limerick, I felt at home.
When Owen came in, he actually, great man, people. He was really very good at bonding him,
very good manager. He could be ruthless at times if he weren't playing, but you know, but he got the best out of most guys and all guys in that team.
That was one thing, Owen's professionalism he brought in. He was making, like you said, you heard today, they had different players for different positions. You know, you were challenged with great competitiveness for positions on the team at the time. So if someone didn't step up to the mark, it would hit someone and Owen allowed someone to step in and step up to the mark there as well, you know.
Really, I suppose my own thoughts at the time was really we had kind of experienced guys like Kevin, Patrick, Joe O'Mandy, Tony Meaney, God bless him. Even Desi was back up. It would be a great spine to the team in those times. And naturally, when a new manager arrives any season, when there's changing of the guard, everyone's nervous about their place. I mean, I heard Owen Hand was getting the job, being a central defender like myself. I was very nervous about my position going forward.
I'd like to think I was the kind of the final piece of the jigsaw, because they were all there waiting, just sort of frustrated maybe that their careers hadn't done as much as their ability warranted or deserved. And then all of a sudden, I mean, I had all this in front of me to work with, and the response was absolutely magnificent. And that's, I mean, we just were saying that the usual cliche you get in football, we'll take every game as it comes.
It was, when you think of the players that was on it, there was Tony Morris and Gary Owen, Desi, you had Johnny Wells, myself, Thomas Elwyn played at the time earlier on with us. He didn't, I seen him play in the team, but he played League of Ireland with us as well. You had other lads from down there. It was a great following of players from Gary Owen and the League of Ireland set up at that time, Mike.
When I went up to Limerick first, I was with Pike Rovers, and when I went up there, I knew a lot of lads like Jerry Duggan and his brother Christy. I played in the green with him, you know, and Jer Caulfield and all those. And, you know, so I grew up with a lot of them, Dizzy Kennedy and everything. You know, Johnny Walsh's brother, Ronnie. So we started playing the greens and Gary Owen, you know. So when I went up, I kind of knew a good few up there, you know. And we were a very close bunch, you know. That's where our success came as well, you know. We were very, you know, there was no bickering or nothing. We were all, we socialised after it, and, you know, we got on very well with training and playing, you know. So I'd say that's what happened with our success as well, you know, that we were so close. And we still are, actually. We still meet every now and then, you know.
We're all, you know, all local lads, and it shows you that, you know, if you invest in local talent, eventually it'll bear fruit. I mean, both Dougie, Walsh and myself, we were all 5 and 6 years playing League of Ireland before we got any success. You know, so we weren't beginners by any means. At 24, 25, we had 5 and 6 years done. So, but Owen kind of brought us all together. He was he brought a professionalism to the club that we needed, you know, that those group of players needed.
It was very unusual, actually, looking at old historical photographs of the time. You had Tony Morris, Des Kennedy, Jerdogan, Johnny Walsh. I mean, any team photograph there, like Kevin Nimrick, Joe, Tony Meaney, myself, you really had of squad photographs. I think Gary Humes and John Dellenberg were on the team photograph on the day of that match in Mells Park, where there's a team photograph of 13 players, obviously, which at the time, two players could come off the bench. 11 guys were Limerick born and bred. So it was an amazing level of local talent. Okay, I excluded Owen Hand, the manager, being a dub. So basically, the majority of our players were all local lads coming through the clubs. The Wembleys, the Pikes, the Janesboroughs.
I suppose everybody talks about the halcyon days of Limerick soccer, but that period was just sheer magic. I think not just at senior level, but junior soccer was so strong as well at the same time. And that particular period, around about the time when Limerick clinched the league in St. Mel's, you know, Munster were winning the senior cup for the first time in 42 years. And there was huge celebration up the Yellow Road as well. And there was that just that sense that sport was huge in the city as it has remained to this day.
After a long 20-year wait without a league title, expectations were low in Limerick coming into the season, with no one predicting what lay ahead for the side, while new player-manager Owen Hand was to be a perfect fit to complement coach Dave Mahidi and a seriously talented group of players, a majority of whom were local lads. Here's the story of the remarkable campaign, with some of the key moments that led up to that famous day in Athlone.
It started off very slowly. I mean, I went down with my dad to the League Cup game against Cork United in August, and we lost on penalties. And I think we were the only two from Limerick there, and there was only a couple of hundred people in Flower Lodge. And the following week against UCD in the league, there was only about 200 people there. I know there's probably thousands claiming they were there now, but it was a real... We won 2-0, but there were a new side in the league, and it was kind of a bit of disappointment. We got two early goals and then kind of fizzled out. It kind of started off slowly. The following week, we went up and had a very good win in Sligo, who would have been a decent team. They'd been champions a couple of years earlier.
The year before we won the league in 80, I mean, we had Roger Connolly. We were sixth in the league. Now, the signs were coming on, but I mean, it's getting over the line in winning things. When Owen came in, he actually, great man people. He was really very good. Bonding with him, very good manager. He could be ruthless at times if he weren't playing, but, you know, but he got the best out of most guys and all guys in that team.
Well, I think what stood to Limerick was that the strength that Owen had in the squad, and Owen himself, if you think back, Owen in that league-winning season contributed 12 goals together with Johnny Walsh. They were the joint second top scorers, himself and Walshy, and Tony Morris, of course, scored 19 goals that season.
No better manager did it, put through your paces at that time. So everything was set in place for it. You know, Owen was totally professional. It just, Owen did all the talking, Dave did all the training, and so everything just fell into place then. And lucky enough, we had a good bunch of players with a mixture of some of the older lads and all the young lads that were coming through at the time.
I suppose the first game that started a bit of hype was a home game against Cork United. Well, a couple of things. Owen Hand came in, he'd been player-manager, he brought a bit of professionalism. But that day we won 4-1 and Owen got four goals. And that got a bit of a buzz started.
It was a game that was played of a Saturday evening, probably to avoid clashing with an All-Ireland final or something like that. It may have been on. And Owen helped himself to four goals. Limerick won 4-1, I think, on the day. And you said, gosh, this team might be worth following. And then as the season went on, Limerick played delightful football and the crowds got bigger and bigger. That's indicative of Limerick crowds, you know. I mean, Limerick, you know, whether it be rugby, hurling, football, Gaelic, whatever it is, they'll show up. And it's nearly 80% or 90%. They're all the same people who support everything, you know. They're just... Limerick is a unique sporting city. I brought a couple of lads over from Wigan, Sid Wallace, my good mate, and they were just captivated by the city. They just said it's the sporting capital of Europe. And I think they're not far wrong there.
You know, we got off to a great start. I mean, you see, it's like, you know, in a race that, you know, if you're out there in front, you'll stay out there, you know, and we got off to a fabulous start, and suddenly we were up there with the Dundalks of this world and to a certain extent the Athlone. But, you know, occasionally we were brought down to earth, you know, away to St. Pat's, we were brought down to earth. You know, Dundalk was always a difficult one. You know, so there were times when we didn't, we just went, I suppose, like looking back in it, it was a dream in that we just wanted to play football. Everyone just wanted to play football and wanted to win the next game. And that kept us there. And then suddenly the momentum grew and grew and grew. And I suppose halfway, three quarter way through the season, you know, we started to realise, hold on a second, we can win this. You know, it never stated that we'd say, oh, next year we'll be good, or the year after. It was always this season. You know, why not now? Let's give it a dash.
Ah, come here. You know, people don't realise it. And honestly, you know, right, the training we actually did. Now, I won't say slag Dave as much as I like, but the way he trained us, it was absolutely brilliant. Now, it was tough going, it was hard stuff to do, but it was worth it in the end, and it showed, like, you know, because, I mean, as I said, like, not alone had, we had been skillful players like Johnny, Roger Patton, and all the rest of the boys, but, like, the fitness level that we had, it was totally different altogether.
There was a massive crowd then against Bohemians. It was a home game against Bowes. A massive crowd turned up. Typically, and Jesus, even these days, you'd say, when Limerick get the big crowd, they flop. And Bowes packed the defence. It was 0-0. It was well deep into injury time and it was going off. Oh. And we battered Bowes for 90 minutes. And Owen Hand got the winner in the last kick of the game. And I think it really rocketed from there because, I mean, we performed in front of the big crowd. We got a big win against a big team as they were at the time. That, I think, was the start that people felt, yeah, this is something here. Now, I mean, Dundalk had been champions. They won the first five or six games. We were kind of tried to keep pace with them for a while. It was probably after the Bowes game people felt, yeah, there's something going here.
Then they kind of came into a kind of a shaky period and one bolstered the squad with a couple of signings, like John Delamere and Gary Humes.
I think it peaked in Limerick, because when I went there, I was probably 23-ish. I just seemed to come into my golden patch. And just, you were a fantastic year. I've said it before, golden years, full-time. Yeah, I loved it. Not all the lads were full-time. But again, just the camaraderie is the one word I would say. Made friends for life. Made me impact on the field, but continued it off the field for all these years, 40 years on. You could say it 4 years ago to me. I could remember every detail. I wouldn't swap a single thing.
The game that defined it for me was actually Waterford about a month later in Kilcone Park. Waterford had come to the Marcus Field before Christmas and had equalised. Alphinucan actually had done it with about 4 minutes to go, and that was a bit of a blow. They had actually beaten Dundalk. They were a really top side at the time. They actually won the cup and they were to beat us in the cup semi-final. But down in Kilcone Park on a horrible wet day, on a mud bath of a pitch, we went a goal down, equalised, went 3-1 up in the second half, two goals from Gary Humes, and Waterford came right back at us. There was a famous slope in Kilcone Park. They were playing down the slope and the wind and the rain and everything. And Alphinucan equalised again. Now, he didn't score that often, but he scored home and away against us. And with 10 minutes to go, Tony Morris put the ball in the top corner and we were celebrating, and the ref blew it back for a free in for Limerick. And the place, there was about 3,000 Limerick fans down there, and it went berserk. There would have been an almighty riot. But Owen Hand, calm as you like, stuck the ball down and stuck the free kick in the same top corner. Right. I think that win and that day, I think that was the day ultimately that proved absolutely crucial to win the league.
You know, there were good, talented footballing, technically good. Johnny Walsh, Pat Nolan, Joe Mahoney, you know, all these lads are very... Tony Morris, of course, Gary Humes, like, I mean, I added later on. I mean, great pace. So we had a lovely balance between all the things that were needed to be successful. And then in the big test, the big games, which was Dundalk, they were our main rivals at the time, we had very good results against them. And it was like the Rolling Stone, you know, like, I mean, it was just gathering all the time type of thing. And momentum was there. You know, it was exciting. It was exciting. They were all enjoying it because, you know, when you're winning games and you're actually top of the league, which we were from a very early stage, that actually was great in so much as that got the supporters thinking, hey, hold on a second. And the crowd started getting bigger in the Market Street until it was full house every weekend.
It was going out that you knew everyone was going to be there. Everyone gave their utmost. It was an amazing thing how a wave can go and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, like a tsunami. And the longer it went on, the bigger the wave went.
We had a very good squad of players, like, you know, and then the fact that we were so fit and Owen instilled a bit of belief in us and a bit of method in how we played, and everything just seemed to click for us. We thrived in this, really, looking back in this. And every time, I think, and this would go for all the players, like, I mean, no matter how we kind of won, we say, on the Sunday, the minute Tuesday came, you were thinking of the following game. And that's the way we kind of kept going, just taking it game at a time, and it seemed to work, yeah.
They went up to play Finn Harps and Ballybuffet and were two down. And I think, again, those two subs came on, Des Kennedy and Gerard Duggan. And Limerick turned the game around to win 3-2. And that was significant. There was a cup game that year then when I said that those 4,000 fans went up to Dundalk. And Tony Morris scored the winner. And I think it must have taken a couple of days for people to get home. But Limerick had to play Dundalk the following week in the league, and Dundalk beat us. And Dundalk were there or thereabouts. And remember, if Limerick didn't win that day in Athlone, then Dundalk would have been crowned, or could have been crowned champions.
We were playing Dundalk. And I must have been 13, 14. And he brought me up to... I was standing by the players coming out and I was watching Dundalk and Limerick. And Ben Hannigan scored the goal, you know, and that beat Limerick 1-0 in the day. Mm-hmm. Little did I know that I'd be up there myself and doing it, you know. So that's kind of one of my great memories, you know.
Suppose if you were to feel for somebody in this season, it had to be Tony Morris, who was top scorer in the league, and there was a prize. I think it could have been over £1,000 if you got 20 goals that season. And Tony got to 19 and got stuck at 19.
Yeah, I remember against Paul Farmer in Marcus Field. I think it was the second last game, and I was two goals ahead of Alan Campbell, who's behind me, and I had a good chance in the first half, which I should have scored, and I didn't. And if I got that, I'd have scored. He got three on the same day, you know. So You know, and I would have won. That'd be engraved in my tombstone, that 20 goals. That's what I remember for.
Tony Morris had an exceptional season for Limerick that season, as they all did. And there's a couple of lads who probably don't get the limelight as much. I remember Pat Mullally, for example, started the season with Limerick, and his brother Fran as well, and Fergie MacDonald. They were all in that Limerick setup. But there was a huge trust of very good local players, and that probably reflects on how good the local soccer scene was at the time.
Des Kennedy got a last late winner against Galway. Tony Morris got a late winner against Finn Harps. We got another late winner up in Ballybuffet. We beat Harps twice with last minute goals. Against Dundalk in the Markets Field, we got two goals in the last 4 minutes. And it was great determination, but I think fitness played a part as well. All those late goals don't happen by accident. So I think there's a level of professionalism, a level of fitness, because it was more or less the same squad that had finished sixth, seventh in without ever challenging for the title in previous years.
You know, the players that we had, we had the match winners, and then, as I said, the fitness level that Dave gave us, plus, on top of that, he gave us kind of a mental mentality, you know, to stick with it and believe in ourselves, and that means an awful lot,
Again, it was 20 years since they won the league and had only won it once before. So suddenly, you know, as you got to the run in, the pressure did get to naturally it'll get to you. And the final day was a difficult one in that we went up overnight to Athlone, and I think we went to watch the Eurovision the night before, so that'll put anyone off. Then the day itself, the place was jammed. I mean, it was full of Limerick supporters. And that added to the pressure too, because, you know, you needed a point, you know, and Dundalk were breathing down your neck and you couldn't slip up.
So the scene was now set. Sunday the 20th of April arrived and Limerick needed just a point against Athlone to pip Dundalk to the title. Many thousands of Limerick supporters made their way to St. Mel's Park that returned a gate of £6,000 on the afternoon. Unusually for Limerick, they travelled up the night before.
I don't think we ever went up that low in the night before again, bar that weekend. But it just showed how important the game was. And, it was great, Mike. I mean, as I said, it was just unbelievable.
And I remember speaking with Joe Mahoney, and Joe was the Limerick captain at the time, and Johnny Fulham was playing in his last game. Johnny had played a lot of football with Shamrock Rovers, had played a bit with Bowes, I think, as well, and had ultimately wound up with Athlone, who were one of the top teams at the time. And when they came out for the toss before the game with Paddy Mulhall, the referee, I remember Joe said to me that Johnny Fulham said to him, "We won't be standing in your way today, Joe." And Joe said he took it with a pinch of salt because he knew that Athlone were competitive. And sure enough, from the minute the game kicked off, Athlone went at Limerick. And Limerick were unusually nervous.
Kevin Fitzpatrick miles off his line. No argument about that being a free kick. Michael O'Connor, what a beauty by the 19-year-old. One of the O'Connor triumvirate in Athlone.
Fitzpatrick blames me for the goal, that the free kick. For years he's been blaming me. And the footage shows that I turned around to give it back to him and he was standing alongside me about a yard outside the box. I said, "Kevin, what's going on here?" So we eventually, anyway, the two of us, Kevin and myself, we blamed John Delamere for giving the ball away on the halfway line eventually.
Well, I will take responsibility because poor Pat Nolan is not able to take it. So I will say as it was my fault. The ball was coming just outside the box. I was inside the box. No, I thought he was going to pass the ball back to me. But he didn't. He left it and I had to go outside and pick up. That was stupid anyway, so it was ridiculous. So poor Pat is living with the terror of someone saying it was his fault. So I'll take the blame.
The field moans from the fans as well as the players. Clock is ticking away. And, you know, no matter what, you're always hoping for a goal. But as the clock ticked down, we had a few cliches in our own back line and the goal mouth incidents and all the rest to keep it at 1-0.
We didn't have half time 1-0 down. Owen, he was very calm. He didn't shout and roar at anyone. He just explained what was going on and what we had to do and that we had to raise our game and keep going, that you can't lose the whole thing in one game. We came out in the second half. We played very well in the second half. We dominated the second half, natural fact.
It worked out, it worked fantastic. Brilliant.
When the penalty came, we all, well, especially we all, had a sigh of relief.
Des knocked it on and ran into it and broke through. And I was just going about to try and place it past the keeper, and Stefan Fenwick took me from behind. He kicked the back of my leg. It was a Bearfield penalty. Lucky enough, we got the penalty anyway, and Tony stepped up, and no better man than Tony at the time to put away a penalty.
Who would want to take a penalty on the day that was in it now? I mean, I think all the fans even were dreading. And then Owen was the regular penalty taker, I think, that season. And Tony Meaney took the responsibility and buried the penalty.
You know, when you've worked so hard for the full season, and we've done so much, I mean, to think that 1 point would have done it, Dundalk would have won the league if we hadn't have got that point there. So, I mean, when we did go behind, you know, that was there was only one thing to do, and that was sort of step up your efforts all over the pitch, like no matter what. Now, that's not to say we weren't trying, but we said, look, come on, we've got to take risks here. You know, we've got to really push on. The fullbacks have got to push on more than we normally would. I will get forward more than I normally would. So it worked because we got a penalty. I mean, I was taking the penalties mainly, but Tony was a better. I thought that Tony, because Tony was in and out. He wasn't that regular. Like, I mean, but I said, Tony, how do you feel about taking this? And it was a big responsibility. And Tony said, yep. And of course, he coolly slotted it in. So, I mean, I also, and it wasn't that I was afraid to take it, but I just wanted it scored no matter what. And maybe in my own mind I was thinking, my God, there's a whole season depending on this one kick.
And I do know I went up to Tony Meaney, God be good to him, and I said, Tony, you all right to take this? Which I shouldn't have.
And now, Limerick, Tony Meaney. And that's the equaliser, and that may very well be the equaliser for the point that Limerick need.
In fairness to Tony, he slotted it. Sure, no one better to put him away than Tony, and from the penalty spot, you know.
Yeah, well, the one thing about the penalty was the late Tony Meaney. He never missed. Cool as you like, he took so many penalties for Limerick, and he just sent Mick Smith the wrong way. But even then, we still had a few nervous flurries near the end. I mean, probably comfortable enough. We had been the better team in the second half, but you just kind of felt, oh, just the final whistle would never come. And it was just such an outpouring of joy when it went, and massive pitch invasion, and just chaos. It was fantastic.
I can remember clearly the atmosphere was just electric. And you couldn't but get a point with that crowd behind you. It was just unbelievable. The hair stand in the back of my head still when I think about it, you know. It's...
We were out on the pitch actually celebrating for ages. I remember the league president wanted to give the cup to Owen Hand because they couldn't find Joe Mahoney, and Owen wouldn't take it. In fairness to him, he said, no, Joe's the captain, Joe has to get, and Joe did lift the cup. Oh, it was a good while before we got back to Limerick. I mean, a cavalcade of cars heading back down the bad road, as it was, well, probably still is, from Athlone to Limerick. But I mean, it was just it was just amazing. It was just the feeling. It was the only league win in my lifetime.
The dressing room in Athlone is only the size of a small kitchen. It's and it was thronged. People came in, and no one stopped and just came in, went out, and came in and went out. And it was, I think, I remember going onto the bus after coming out in the dressing room, and the team were in there, and I turned around and I said, you know, boys, you're the finest team I have ever played with, for guts. And it was emotional, completely emotional. I never thought I'd win a league.
It was pandemonium, Michael, if I'm to be honest. And I think, you know, everybody there, it was just sheer relief, sheer exhilaration. But there was a sense of significance. The thing, you know, that something major had been done. And you looked around the dressing room, and I suppose I was relatively young at the time, and I was looking at the likes of Kevin Fitzpatrick, and I recall going up to Daly Mount in 71 to see Limerick win the cup in a replay against Drogheda. And you thought at that stage, Kevin, definitely he'll retire now. But he didn't. He kept going for a little while longer. Joe Mahoney, who put it down as his proudest moment. Joe was class throughout the season. You had guys that we grew up with as kids who would have played in Calves Park. A lot of the Wembley lads, the likes of the Pat Nolans, the Johnny Walshes,
who you knew were talented players. I went to school with Brendan Storn. So just all that was very, 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 very special. And of course, you had Dave Mahidi there as well, you know, who had done a lot. And you had the Limerick board, the likes of the late Mick Webb. You know, they'd invested a lot of their time and energy into Limerick. And this was the reward, which was really, really good.
From the whole way down from Metlone, I think we stopped even halfway down for a drink on the way, and it was packed with Limerick. It was just unbelievable at the time. The whole week was, I think, you Munster won the Senior Cup in the same weekend. And so we were all in town that night, you know. I think we all met up in South.
The pitch was invaded. It was a battle to get back to the dressing room. And I don't know if you know St. Mel's Park. You couldn't swing a cat in the dressing room there. I'd say there wasn't enough room for the team to be in the dressing room. So you can imagine what it was like in the dressing room. So there was absolutely no chance of getting a quiet moment. I couldn't even find my parents at the time. So, you know, you were just swept away. I mean, it was just one of those moments in your life. And again, like you're starting off your career, you're in sport, and you're saying, oh, is this what it's like all the time, you know? And it was the same with that team. I mean, we were there 3 or 4 years. We won league, we won cup, we were in Europe. And each season, you started by saying, well, what do we go for this year? You know, will we go for the cup? And we thought that was it every year. Like, when you look back and you say, oh my God, we haven't won it since, is incredible. We expected to win it every year.
So long since we had any, and to win something, it was a great honour for the city and for the people, and the amount of effort, no one knows the amount of effort we, and the training, how hard the training was for that year, Mike, and the sacrifices, and especially for our wives and the children, the wives that put up with the last. We were missing 3 or 4 nights of the week, and missing the weekends training. We had training Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You come from work straight to training. We had training on Saturday morning. You had training Sunday morning when you're home matches. So, you know, just nearly 5 days a week we were at it.
Absolutely fantastic times. Real golden period for Limerick and for me as well. And it's great that we can reflect back on these journeys in the football times. It's good for supporters to remember the good times. And it's certainly very good for the players like myself. I've still got very strong ties in Limerick. Good friends there. We go down every year. We'll try to get down once or twice a year. And when we meet up with Owen and all the lads, Welshie, Brendan, Pat Nolan, it's just like old times. It's just like we've never been away, really. And that's a really good thing to have in this life, that you can go back to somewhere where you lived after many years and you're made to feel at home.
In truth, I think that team, every one of them, like when we went out and played, we played for each other. There was no nastiness between any one of them. I mean, everything was super. It was just, as I said, it was a great bunch of fellas that came together at a time, and we kind of only instilled a bit of belief in us that we needed to push us on. Like,
it was just memorable, and of course that's why we don't want to forget it. We get together and we have fun, and we don't talk about it because it's there. There might be reference to it, but it's just to be with all those lads and to know how much that they're appreciated by everybody in Limerick, and it's just lovely, lovely feeling.
There's a terrific bond between the lads that are there. Even though Gary is in Sligo, Gary Humes, we still keep in touch with him. You know, we meet twice a year. We have a few drinks at Christmas, and we have a golf outing, and where we celebrate the lads who have left us, like good old Joe and Tony Meaney and Willie Flaherty, you know, just to name a few. It's sad when you look at that, you know, that three of those, they were pivotal in us winning the league. I mean, William Flaherty did more for us than any man I know. You know, he kept us all happy and kept us all, you know, if you had a little knock or a niggle or whatever else, Willie looked after you, you know. He was a tremendous man. So was Joe and so was Tony Meaney. Like you wouldn't go into battle without Tony Meaney. He was the first fella on your team. And Joe was the ultimate captain. He was cool, coolness personified. Super player.
Joe was so helpful and calming, and we struck it off at the very start, and it's so easy to play with a guy with all that years experience in League of Ireland. But we got on, we were great. We had a great camaraderie on and off the field, and it was a joy to play with Joe. Just being with the lads, you know, it's the laugh that we have and the laugh that we had when we played, and the banter that we had coming down, you know, and it just the trip just passed away, and then it was just, it really and truly was brilliant.
So, after a 20-year wait, The championship has gone to Limerick United. They'll never forget it.
Volkswagen commercial vehicles, Dublin Road, Limerick, for your new 201 Volkswagen.